the next pandemic is not a question of if, but of when. And we cannot afford to repeat the same mistake of the past. That's why WHO's member states are negotiating a new pandemic accord and amendments to the international health regulations to strengthen the legal framework for the global response to pandemics. And we can't stop there. We must follow through with national ratification and accountable implementation. For the sake of future generations, we must not go back to the old cycle of panic and neglect that left our world vulnerable.
My amendment here is very simple. It says that if a law, if a treaty has a law in it that has the bearing on United States citizens, on our domestic activities, then it has to follow the lawmaking process of the Constitution.
The World Health Organization's international health regulations, updated in 2005 and amended in 2014, claim to be designed to stop the spread of infectious diseases worldwide by requiring countries to report health emergencies and maintain strong surveillance systems in place, according to the Pan American Health Organization.
The resolution, including the amendments contained in document A77/A/COM.14, is adopted.
But with new amendments set to kick in on July 19th, 2025, the clock is ticking, as unelected officials in Geneva will have the power to penetrate sovereign countries with lockdowns and vaccine mandates. This amendment could hit the Western world in places like Australia, the US, the UK, and Canada, where people didn't vote for this oversight. Most people don't even realize it's happening. Add to that, digital IDs create another dystopian layer. It could lead to a surveillance-based technocracy where governments track every move. California's rollout of digital driver's licenses and a January 2025 executive order from former President Joe Biden are pushing this forward, turning phones into tools that could enforce global health rules. Worse still, this could spiral into dystopian outcomes like forced quarantines in isolated government camps, mandatory health implants for real-time monitoring, and a Chinese-style social credit system where compliance with World Health Organization directives determines access to jobs, travel, or food. If these amendments are enforced, nations could potentially be obligated to set up local enforcement bodies that answer to the World Health Organization, not their own voters or courts, leading to a future where dissenters are silenced through digital blacklisting, or where entire regions are locked down indefinitely based on global health decrees.
And the premises for the World Health Organization, the director general can still declare public health emergency. Sure, he kind of has to go to the committee and make sure that there is some kind of agreement, but he gets to appoint the committee members. So do you think there's going to be any resistance towards him declaring this public health emergency? No. We both know there won't be any. And he can still issue the quarantine, isolation, tell us what type of diagnostic treatments, vaccines we have to recommend. He can restrict travel into the area. He can institute, there is still that vaccine passport language. It's a little bit different, but it's still there.
And the WHO has been counting on the fact that people will not pay attention. And if they try to pay attention, they will find it confusing and bureaucratic. And they will think the World Health Organization doesn't really have any power. And so they will just ignore it. And that is the opposite of the right reaction. We have to kill this off dead. That is the only way to send the message that this was a completely unacceptable overreach from the get-go, and that no part of it is tolerable to us, no matter how mild they make it sound. We know what they're up to, as you point out, by looking at the earliest drafts and seeing the jaw-dropping powers that they were attempting to commandeer.
This accord is a generational opportunity that we must seize.
The Mockingbird Media is predictably
Please remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list, your text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from Infowars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember, Paul Revere's, you're not part of the solution. You are the solution. You're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification. That is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match. And the InfoWar is everything. And you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the InfoWar. So release your will and power now. Destroy them.
It's Wednesday, July 16th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody's doing well. I gotta say, bit of a slow news day today. Not a lot has happened since I last talked to you, but that's okay because we got obviously more than enough to talk about. Still, we're gonna take your call today, and I'll be joined in studio by the one and only Rex Jones. I feel like I'm all off center here. We strive for perfection here at American Journal. A lot to talk about. Calls today, and we'll begin today as we do every day with your daily dispatch. Here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Wednesday, the 16th of July, 2025. U.S. military to remove 2,000 National Guard troops from Los Angeles. U.S. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth ordered the removal of 2,000 National Guard troops from Los Angeles, as the Pentagon stated on Tuesday. The decision reduces the initial 4,000 troops sent to protect federal property during the protests last month, according to the Pentagon. President Donald Trump deployed the troops in June against the wishes of Governor Gavin Newsom to address protests related to the immigration raids. Those immigration raids are ongoing, and I don't think we've talked about it yet, but the trend continues of people posting videos or screenshots showing the LA traffic map is all green. It's all green, apparently, because I think some American cities, we're looking at upwards of like a quarter of the population are just straight up illegal. And it's having massive positive impacts for the quality of life of the people living there. So you're welcome. Meanwhile, another conspiracy theory comes true. The story from Infowars.com. California bill passes to buy fire-ravaged Palisades for low-income apartments. Homeowners in the fire-ravaged Palisades, part of Los Angeles area governed by Marxist-aligned Mayor Karen Bass, have been left homeless and with more questions than answers. Why did the city neglect the reservoir, and was it intentional? The writing is on the wall, bold and in large font for private landowners and homeowners in areas governed by socialist-aligned officials who have zero respect for private property. They're coming for your land. And of course, this was, you know, utterly predictable. We've been talking a lot about the corruption involved in the cleanup of the Palisades fire. We're going to show you a video a little bit later of a guy who ran passed a bill to restore the Palisades, you know, the funding needed to rebuild the Palisades. And this guy fed the law through Grok or ChatGPT and basically figured out what the bill really says and what they're, you know, really going to do with this prime American real estate that was allowed to burn to the ground because of their unwavering incompetence. But it's okay. They are just horrific failures, and this is just the way it works. I don't know what to tell you. When Democrats fail horribly, they benefit. That's just how it works, okay? So when they make terrible movies, then they benefit because they get to, you know, call you all racist for not liking them. And then they get promoted and another $100 million to destroy another beloved intellectual property when they are the mayors of cities. Then they let the whole thing burn to the ground and they snatch it all up at rock bottom prices and rezone it all for low income so they can, boost their voter rolls. When they fail to uphold border security, they're flooded with illegal immigrants who, of course, benefit the corporations and boost their numbers so they, get more political sway. It's just they figured it out. They figured out, and, God bless them. There's a lot of losers in this world. Not a lot of them have turned their losing into a benefit. But, yeah, this is the way it works, is every time the Democrats put a policy in place, it fails horrifically and they benefit. And it works out for them. And they do better at the end of the day. So, sure, your neighborhood burned to the ground, but now the politicians that allowed it to happen get to benefit. So it's a win-win, I guess, all around. Meanwhile, all but one Republican on House Rules Committee block motion to allow Congress a vote on releasing Epstein files. And that is, in fact, the accurate way this story should be reported. And we'll show you a video of Marjorie Taylor Greene explaining that in just a little bit. But most headlines say every Republican votes to block the release of the Epstein files. It's not really how it happened, but it still is annoying. It's annoying that it's just crazy. The Republicans have handcrafted a vector of attack for the Democrats. The Democrats had nothing. For the last 7 months, they've been basically been burning down Tesla dealerships, inciting with murderous illegal criminals. They really had nothing until the Republican elves went into the workshop and hammered away and tinkered away and built them, created out of whole cloth, manufactured for them, an attack vector that is very effective. Why? Why are we doing this? I guess that's where the speculation comes in. So, again, I don't know. It was always right-wingers talking about Jeffrey Epstein. This was never a Democrat thing, ever, ever. But then for some reason, Trump's administration completely bungles the Epstein release, flip-flops like 10 different times, can't get their story straight, and then all start saying, oh, yeah, this is a Democrat attack point. And the Democrats look around and go, oh, it is? All right. Oh, we didn't realize. We've been avoiding this like the plague because of all the pedophiles in our ranks. But now that you say it's a vector of attack for the Republicans, yeah, we'll take it. We will take it. So you're welcome once again. Meanwhile, Israel strikes Damascus as fighting rages in southern Syria. Powerful airstrikes shook Damascus on Wednesday, targeting the defense ministry as Israel vowed to destroy the Syrian government forces attacking Druze communities in southern Syria and demanded they withdraw. Reuters reported reporters heard warplanes swoop low over the capital and unleash a series of massive strikes on central Damascus. The cityscape was blanketed in smoke with a thick plume rising from the defense ministry. We actually have some pretty crazy videos of this. We can go to clip number 5 here. We can actually do 5, 6, and 7. Go ahead and roll these. This one's crazy. It's a woman actually delivering the news with the city as the backdrop. When the explosion hits the background, the shockwave hits her about a second later. So yeah, Damascus is now under attack by Israel with massive bombs hitting their presidential palace as well as a number of other buildings downstairs, downtown rather. Absolutely massive, massive attacks. So, we can talk about what the developments have been in Syria since the Assad regime was overthrown by a combination of NATO, Israeli, Turkey, and American terrorists. And then immediately it was like, oh, now we're friends. Now actually we're all aligned and we're going to give them billions of dollars. But also they are, unlike the Assad regime, actually targeting the minority groups in Syria for destruction. And we've seen churches be bombed and now the Druze are under attack because, say what you want about the Assad regime, it was an Alawite regime and protected the minorities in Syria. Now it's been replaced by a Sunni regime that is ruthlessly eradicating them because that's what we told you they were going to do, because it's all for the sake of Israel. Again, we can get back into that a little bit later. Finally, we have this. Trump says Attorney General Pam Bondi should release credible information on Epstein. U.S. President Donald Trump says Attorney General Pam Bondi should release whatever she thinks is credible on late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, as he faces rare backlash from his supporters after seeking to draw a line under the case. Bondi has been lambasted by some of Trump's political base after her department recently said there was no evidence that Epstein, quote, kept a client list. This appeared to contradict her previous statements and those of other Trump allies who previously called for the release of more information on Epstein. Trump also said on Tuesday he did not understand what the interest or the fascination is with the case. He earlier offered a defense of Bondi, saying she handled it very well. Again, we'll keep talking about this. And look, I too am sick of talking about Epstein. I wish we didn't have to talk about him. I wish this wasn't as big of an issue as it is, but it is. And again, I talked yesterday about it and the day before, just to remind you, this is the chink in the armor. This is the vulnerability that has all the attention. And so it's what you got to drive and push and try to get some sort of conclusion from. Clearly, whatever information is still contained in the Epstein files, or whatever, you know, further information the government has about Epstein and his activities and associations, et cetera, is damaging enough, is dangerous enough that they don't even know how to handle it. Like they are flipping out and panicking. And there's a reason for that. It's because this, again, is the string that unravels the whole sweater. When you talk about the insane control that Israel has over this country, so much of it has to do with blackmail from people like Epstein. And again, he's not in any way the only operative, you know, running one of these honeypot schemes. He was just sort of the biggest and most famous. But if we want actual change in our country, if we want to actually shift the trajectory of our nation, you got to pick something to be the fulcrum of that movement. In this case, it's Jeffrey Epstein and the pedophile island and the weird temple and the Israeli connections and the support of the mega group. And all of these, you know, various aspects of this superstructure sitting atop the American government. And a lot of people the last day or so have been talking about Howard Lutnick. And we can, you know, get into who this guy was. He was apparently Jeffrey Epstein's next door neighbor. Now, of course, he's working with the Trump campaign, Trump administration, that is. And it's just one of those things that when Trump is giving statements on this, like the one he gave yesterday, clip called He's Just Doubling Down, clip number four here. This is Donald Trump with another, yeah, yet again, tripling, quadrupling down on the Epstein thing, calling it a creation of Obama and Brennan. It's just, this is silly. And there's no good explanation for this, right? Either Trump is being totally genuine and he's literally just like baffled at this. And he's like, there's just some dude that was a pedophile and why is everybody freaking out? And if that's the case, if he really is baffled by this, like that's the worst case scenario. And I don't believe that's the case, because how could it be? How could Trump not understand the implications of this? Like if he really is like, it's just some pedophile guy that everybody's freaking out about. What? What is this? This is created by Obama. It's like, if that's really what he thinks is going on, that is like a bigger issue than if he's deliberately covering it up. Because the only other option is perfectly aware of the implications of this. He's perfectly aware of the power structures that this would devastate, and he's protecting them. He's sacrificing himself to save them from the consequences of their own actions. Or he's in the files and he's a pedophile and he doesn't want to release his own thing. Like, these are the only options. So out of all of those, I almost would prefer that the American president is at least aware of what's going on, even if he's actively working for the bad guys, which he clearly is right now. I at least want him to be aware that that's what's happening. It's worse for me to think that the president of the United States genuinely does not understand that Jeffrey Epstein was the leader of a blackmail ring that has probably had massive impacts when it comes to the decisions that politicians have made recently. Trump, I don't understand supporters' fascination with Epstein. Really? You don't understand? You don't understand how you, Donald Trump, the leader of the MAGA movement, the movement that came to prominence because of the anger and fury at the Middle East wars, the lack of weapons of mass destruction, despite being told over and over that there were, whose entire political existence is predicated on the idea of there being a deep state, the deep state not having America's best interests in mind, and them using a variety of nefarious means to maintain control. You don't understand? You don't understand why Jeffrey Epstein, Israeli fake billionaire, allies with, cohorts with the Prime Minister of Israel, Lex Wexner, every member of the mega group, Ghislaine Maxwell, daughter of Robert Maxwell, Israeli Soviet Union, UK super spy, this guy, Jeffrey Epstein, might have been running a blackmail scheme. This might actually be the guts, the inner workings of the machine that you've built your entire political career fighting. You don't get it. You don't understand why we would be interested in something like this, really. You just think we're idiots, is what I'm getting. What I'm getting from this statement is, I think my supporters are idiots. Again, hey, if you want to look at a silver lining of this, not that it matters. Not that anything real actually ever matters, because we're dealing with people who, for whom reality is anathema. The silver lining to this, if anybody was legitimate even a little bit, would be that we'd never hear that MAGA was a cult ever again. But like I said, it doesn't actually matter. It doesn't actually matter that time and time again, Trump is convinced by his supporters to do something other than what he wants to do. It doesn't matter that time and time again, Trump has taken a position that is completely at odds with his supporters, and his supporters loudly, vocally oppose him. It doesn't matter. We're still cult members. I believe everything he says. But the reality is that maybe Trump thought that. Maybe Trump thought that he was a cult leader. Trump thinks his base is stupid. Candace Owens lights the president up over the Epstein scandal. That is how he's acting. He's acting like we're stupid. Because he's acting stupid. He's acting like he doesn't understand what's going on, which you would only believe if you didn't understand what was going on. So he thinks you're stupid. He thinks we're stupid, and it's not going to work. And when he gives this statement yesterday, again, tripling, quadrupling, quintupling down on his deliberate failure, like his deliberate miscomprehension of the Epstein situation. In this case, he's standing next to one Howard Lutnick, which many people have pointed out is a little bit suspicious in and of itself. Let's watch Trump's statement now.
Mr. President, I know you've urged people to move on, but I'm curious, why do you think your supporters in particular have been so interested in the Epstein story and so upset about how it's been handled?
I don't understand it. Why they would be so interested. He's dead for a long time. He was never a big factor in terms of life. I don't understand what the interest or what the fascination is. I really don't. And the credible information's been given. Don't forget, we went through years of the Mueller witch hunt and all of the different things, the Steele dossier, which was all fake. All that information was fake. But I don't understand why the Jeffrey Epstein case would be of interest to anybody. It's pretty boring stuff. It's sordid, but it's boring. And I don't understand why it keeps going. I think only pretty bad people, including fake news, want to keep something like that going. But credible information, let them give it. Anything that's credible, I would say let them have it.
Mr. President, a question on AI. How do you want Americans to think about it?
This is anything credible, give it to them. You know, there was a story that I printed out today. Not that I need the exact wording, but the only reason I even printed the story was just to remind myself to talk about this idea of conspiracy. Vox, Trump and Jeffrey Epstein docs, why Trump betrayed the MAGA base. Trump's embrace of conspiracy theories haunt him with Epstein case. And, you know, everybody knows that the very term conspiracy theory was developed by the CIA to discredit speculation about the true nature of the JFK assassination in the 60s. And it's taken on this sort of new meaning, because the word in and of itself, the phrase, the two words, are not difficult to understand, and they have meanings of their own. And it's weird when you hear people say, well, you know, I'm not, how do people phrase it? I can't even think of how they phrase it. But they say, like, you know, this isn't a conspiracy. This really happened. Like, no, a conspiracy is just when people conspire. Everybody understands that there are conspiracies. Every crime with more than one perpetrator is by definition a conspiracy. Okay? Conspiracies don't even have to be clandestine or bad, but that, of course, is just the definition that has glommed onto it. But so it's this idea that the term conspiracy theory, sometimes shortened to conspiracy, is just shorthand for something that didn't actually happen and isn't real or something. Which, okay, fine. If that's the way you want to phrase it, whatever. But here's a question. If the United States government releases a video that they claim shows that nobody went in or out of Jeffrey Epstein's cell during his suicide, if they release what they claim to be the full video and there's 1, 2, 3 minutes of that video missing, and you can tell from the metadata and you can tell from the time code on the camera, and it's admitted by the government that this minute or minute to 3 minutes, and we'll you know, tell you the new data out about this, it's missing from the video. Is that a conspiracy? Is it a conspiracy theory? If I were to speculate as to why this minute is missing, or what the minute could show, or how they removed the minute of the video, am I putting forward a conspiracy theory, or is just there something that's unexplained that the authorities will not explain and just are telling you to shut up? Like, it's so weird. This is not a conspiracy theory. Epstein was a conspirator in a conspiracy, in a secret group committing illegal activities. That's why he was in jail when he committed suicide. Why would he be in jail if he wasn't in a conspiracy? What do people not understand about this? So when they talk about Trump's embrace of conspiracy theories, the Epstein conspiracy theories, it really is like you come home to your family member with a knife in their chest laying on the ground dead, and you go, well, what the hell, who did this? And people go, what are you, conspiracy theorizing now? It's like, no, this is a mystery is what this is, and we're trying to get the answers to it. This is called answering a question that nobody else is willing to answer. Yes, Jeffrey Epstein was conspiring with his fellow criminals to commit crimes. Yes, people in the American government were involved in this. When you're not telling us what the answers is, what the answers are, then theorizing is a perfectly valid exercise, because we deserve to know the truth, and you can't just silence the truth and then call us names for asking what the reality is. Folks, we'll be back on the other side with tons of videos to illustrate everything that I'm talking about. Please do go to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com, and get this knife. Get this amazing knife. There's a beautiful, powerful, sharp new knife at thealexjonesstore.com. And I'm not saying I'm going to stab you if you don't, but look at the knife, folks.
Huge announcement, ladies and gentlemen. I am beyond excited about this. I've wanted this knife for a year. It's super high quality. They finally got the right supplier and a bunch of them. It's in a beautiful keepsake black box with my signature in silver lettering on the top. And when you go inside, this incredible combat battle dagger, limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger, a high-tech, super high-quality sheath with a high-tech clip under your belt or your pants, and it's got a special system where the knife doesn't come out when it's upside down. It takes a little pull to get it out. It is amazing. This is, in my opinion, the very best defense battle dagger you can get. It's an incredible price for $79.99 right now. This knife by itself in store sells for $100 every day, but we bought 5,000 of them, so got the price down really low. Wholesale, so we can pass that on to you, and the profit we make goes in to fund this operation. So you don't just get a great defensive system for yourself and your family, great in your car, great on your side, great in your purse, your glove compartment, also skin a buck with it, whatever you need. This is an amazing knife. You not only, though, get something to defend yourself, you defend the Republic in the information war by funding this operation. So get your limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger at thealexjonesstore.com right now, and it keeps this operation on the air. This isn't just a blade, it's a symbol of freedom. Limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger is forged by patriots ready to defend the Republic from the globalist agenda. Featuring a double-edged black coated blade for unmatched durability and precision, this dagger is built to last. On one side is etched my signature, while the other side proudly bears 1776, a reminder that the spirit of revolution lives on stronger than ever. With its ergonomic non-slip grip designed ready for any mission, the dagger isn't just a tool, it's a statement. Whether you're adding it to your collection or keeping it close as a symbol of resistance and for defense, this blade is for those who know that the answer in 1984 is 1776. Get yours now. And then, we are announcing a limited sale, the Power Drive bundle of Power Plant and Methyl Drive, which goes incredibly good with Methylene Blue. And both of these give you incredible natural energy, clarity, and focus. But you mix them together with Methylene Blue, I will tell you, in Chase Geyser's observation himself, 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Did you hear what I just said? 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Get yours now, discounted massively, 50% off when you get them together. 50% off on the Power Drive bundle for a limited time, 1 week, at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds this operation, 1776 worldwide.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think that this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So it's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. Looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The American Journal. We got a lot of other stuff to talk about besides Epstein, but that continues to be the big story, as it seems like the Democrats have finally realized that this is a vulnerability that they can attack Trump with. Not that they've ever had any interest in Epstein before, but now they realize, again, this is a chink in his armor. And again, I do think this is a very useful avenue for us to take in exposing the pervasive spook influence on our government and why we can't get anything for ourselves, because our entire government works at the behest of a bunch of blackmailing pedophile foreigners. But we got other stuff. But we got other stuff to get into first. And we'll be joined by Rex Jones in the third hour, and I'll open up the phone lines for your calls in the second. And we do have a lot when it comes to Epstein. We got more information gleaned from the metadata of the video showing that actually 3 minutes had been cut and that it had been, you know, edited multiple times and apparently exported from Adobe Premiere. It really reminds me a lot of like the Obama birth certificate situation, where either people pulling this off are actually incredibly incompetent, like extremely, like more incompetent than a high schooler. Who, I don't know. I've been using Photoshop for a long time. Even I knew in high school that you had to merge all layers if you didn't want it to be editable on a PDF. They didn't realize that apparently published Obama's birth certificate where you could separate the layers and see that it was clearly a forged document. Sort of a similar thing happened with this video where they didn't scrub the metadata. didn't bother putting it through. Like, again, this is something that we do. Even just for, like, anyway, maybe I shouldn't talk about the infosec here, but are they that incompetent, or are they literally just like, it doesn't matter? No, it doesn't matter. We just have to put something out. Of course it's fake. Obviously it's fake. Everybody can see that it's fake, but it doesn't matter because we put it out, and now all of the media outlets will say, but they provided the birth certificate, so, but they provided the video, so I guess that settles things. Yeah, but the video was highly edited and there's 3 minutes missing and it was clearly fake. But they provided the video, so.
And it's also the worst angle.
So case closed. Yeah, it's also just a ridiculous angle.
Benny Johnson like went over how this was not even the best angle, or there are many better angles based on the schematic of the floor.
Yeah.
And where cameras are positioned.
Well, it's not even like this is his cell, right? It's like this door.
That's what's being alleged.
Is a door to a hallway that his cell was in. Just ridiculous. So it's just ridiculous. So again, we'll get into that a little bit more in a second, but I do want to cover some other stuff first. Because I got a lot of videos. Some horrifying, some good. it's all so crazy. We'll go with the Palisades law, because we were talking about that in the first 5 minutes. Another conspiracy theory comes true. That's the headline at Infowars.com. California bill passes to buy fire-ravaged Palisades for low-income apartments. Ah, yes, it used to be one of the premier neighborhoods in America. A vintage, classic Americana, you know, started off middle income, came a little bit upper income, but you know, people had raised families there and lived there forever. Really just a beautiful example of, you know, the American classic suburb where a lot of our favorite TV shows were shot there, being just in LA. And then it burned down and now it's all going to be low income Section 8 housing. I guess for all the foreigners that they're bringing in. So thanks, Democrats. Thank you. Thank you for being like that. It's funny. This from Postmillennial. Like I said in the first 5 minutes, it just as an observation having to do with this Palisades issue, that the Democrats really do. They're in this pattern where they utterly fail and that helps them. You would think that not having your city burned down would be your priority. You would think that, like, I'm the mayor of a city. What would be best for me? Would it be good if one of the nicest neighborhoods in my city burned to ash? Probably not. You would think that the answer would be no. But that's if you're a decent person that actually wants to fulfill the obligations of the position that you've been granted, right? If you're a mayor, you're actually serving the city as a mayor and as a leader and as somebody who's there to simply facilitate the lives and free choices of the people who live in your city, then yeah, the city burning down wouldn't be in line with that. But if your objective as mayor is to transform your city into a socialist hellscape, then a fire is just the ticket. It's just what you need. It's the secret ingredient to your revolution. Why get permission to do things when you can just burn it down? Why convince people that your ideas are better so they vote for you when you can lie about your intentions and then burn the city down to get what you want? So it's constant, and I brought this up in the first 5 minutes, putting out yet another example, yet another time where Democrats' failure and the immense suffering of their citizens brings them more power and money than ever before. And then you have this story from Postmillennial. Dem strategist says party should, quote, pray long and hard for an effing depression in the United States. Quote, this is a nightmare scenario for the Dems right now. We better pray long and hard that the country is going to be in an effing depression, because I don't know how else we find ourselves out of this mess. The Democrats better pray long and hard for a depression in the United States, because otherwise people won't vote for us. I don't know if I've ever heard the mentality of the Democrat political party more succinctly expressed. They're literally panicking that it's going so well. The way their ideology works is if people aren't suffering, they lose power. The power of the Democrats, the success of the Democrats, is in perfect one-to-one dependent relation on the suffering of the people that they rule over. Democrats find reasons for hope and fear 6 months into Trump 2.0. They're like, maybe it'll go horribly. Maybe everyone in America will go bankrupt. Maybe we'll have riots on the street, billions of dollars in damages. Maybe they'll have to release the riot squads and the National Guard to deal with our activists burning the city down. Maybe he'll have to be a tyrant, and then we'll get to say we overthrow him, and we'll put all of his supporters in concentration camps and let them be eaten by alligators. And it's like, you people, really, you're really sick. You're really sick. Do Democrats, like, if there are Democrats listening to me, do you ever stop to think about the fact that your party thrives on human suffering? That you are misery vampires that literally are praying for the downfall of America so that you can offer to fix the problem that you cause? People are the worst. You're the worst. You're the worst. Remember Marxist-aligned New York City Democrat candidate Zoran Mamdani, who called for the government to seize luxury condos to house the homeless during the coronavirus pandemic? These far-left officials made their Marxist intentions clear, and yet they can no longer be ignored. And you remember, during the city council contest here in Austin, we covered that one of the chiefs of staff of the Democrat candidate, people leaked screenshots of chats that he was having with his Antifa group. And they were saying, why is your candidate not socialist? Why is your candidate so centrist? Why is he not spouting these far left talking points that we want him to spout? And the person who was running the campaign, the senior advisor, senior aide for the Democrat candidate, responded saying, if we said our real plans, nobody would vote for us. If we were honest about what we want to do when we get elected, we wouldn't get elected. So we're going to take a centrist tact. We're going to express moderate ideas. And then once we're in office, don't worry, guys. We're going to go full socialist. Don't worry, guys. We're just saying this stuff to get elected. Once we're elected, our true communist nature will come out. Now, again, for somebody who just has basic Sunday school morals, this isn't a complicated ethical issue. These people are evil and they're bad, and they are deliberately subverting the democratic process by openly espousing their tactic. Like, this is the point. If your ideas wouldn't be voted for, then you shouldn't be in power. But do we really need to explain this? I guess we do. Because again, it's not, I'm not talking about overhearing a conversation between high schoolers at a coffee shop. These are the people that are running the campaigns for the candidates that win elections. These are the people that lead our cities and our country. They are just deceitful scum who understand that you don't like their ideas. They understand the American people aren't in favor of socialism. They get that their ideas are unpopular and can't win. And instead of thinking, I need to convince people, instead of thinking one day, you know, people will come around to my idea or whatever, they simply think everybody else is wrong. I'm right. They don't know what's good for them. I do. I need, for their sake, I'm going to trick them into doing what I want. Because I'm the socialist and I'm for the worker. And even though the workers reject me, they just are stupid and don't know what's good for them. So I'm going to trick them into giving me power. Then I'm going to do what they don't want me to do, regardless of how they feel. And then I'm going to act like it succeeded, even when it fails abysmally. That's what they do over and over and over every single time. And their supporters are in favor of it. Their fellow socialists and leftists perfectly understand that that's what's happening. And they're okay with that. They're fine with that because they're bad people, because they're dishonest, because to believe in this ideology, you have to not have a soul or have any respect for your fellow human beings or think of your fellow human beings as conscious people, willing, you know, worthy of your empathy. Instead, they're just pawns to be manipulated to get what you want. Here's the Palisades Law, the video of the guy who ran this new funding bill for the Palisades through AI to figure out what it actually says. Go to clip number 12.
I just wanted to celebrate National Horse Day and my new book, pre-order at the link. But then everyone from the Palisades is like, Spencer, you got to make a post. Senate Bill 549 just passed. Obviously, I'm no genius, okay? We know that, and I'm just, you know, dealing with my own issues. I had to go to ChatGPT Pro, which gave me some very suspect answers. So then I went to Gronk 4 Heavy, asked my four agents. Long story short, let me just start skimming. The California Senate has passed SB 549, granting LA County authority to purchase fire-destroyed lots for minimal costs and convert them into low-income housing, directly contradicting Mr. Gavin Newsom's previous assurance to homeowners that such government-driven property conversions wouldn't happen. It enables cities and counties to allocate property taxes to infrastructure districts from January 2026, mandating 40% affordable housing. It authorizes LA County to create a resilient rebuilding authority. There's so much information. It strips local control, creates a county authority that overrides city community decisions on rebuilding after the wildfires, centralizing power away from locals. An example, the Pacific Palisades input ignored. Enables rezoning without input, allows rezoning for resilient, that's what it's called, projects like infill housing, transit without full resident approval, displacement risk. Authority can buy land bank properties, offering first look to originals. But if unaffordable families lose homes forever, forces low-income housing mandates seen as unconstitutional takings by critics. Overdevelopment dangers, pushes dense reconstruction and economies of scale, potentially overcrowding neighborhoods, straining infrastructure and all the, I don't know what any of, honestly, this all says, but let me tell you my takeaway from this bill and why I don't even need to keep reading. The people that are in charge of this bill, they're the people in charge of letting the whole town burn down, okay? You can say whatever you want, but all their decisions, all their negligence, all that. That's why we have no town in the Palisades. Why would we ever have them in charge of rebuilding what they let burn down? So let me know in the comments section. Let's keep it like, you know, again, this is, I don't even think this is political. This is just like a common sense post. The people that let that town burn down shouldn't be in charge of rebuilding it, right? Am I missing something? I mean, I got so many things. It's just like, I could keep going. I like the hashtags that Gronk 4 came up. Stop SB549. Hashtag protect local control. That's what I'm focusing on. Local control.
Again, the article is at InfoWars.com. Another conspiracy theory comes true. California passes bill to buy fire-ravaged Palisades for low-income housing. Which, I mean, there. Look. It's just, it's everything that we talk about here when it comes to, you know, these people, their plans for, you know, what they want the world to look like. They're not asking your permission. They're demanding your subjugation, and then they're forcing you if you don't want to. Okay? They're going to ask you to eat bugs. All right? You're going to say no because that's disgusting. Then they're going to make ads and get your celebrities to eat bugs to try to convince you that it's not disgusting, but it's still disgusting, so you're not going to eat the bugs. So then they're just going to put bugs in the food that you already eat and not tell you and label it something different. And when you say you don't want to eat bugs, they can say, well, you already do. So just go all in. So just eat strictly bugs because we've been feeding you bugs for years. And then they're going to buy the beef companies and kill all the cows and then just have bugs on the supermarket shelves. They're not asking you to eat bugs. They're telling you you're going to eat bugs. They're not asking you to sell your home to make it low-income apartment buildings. They're burning your home down and building the apartment buildings. Okay, because in these people's minds, they have this view of the world that's in line with the C40 cities, that's in line with the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, of this maximally controlled factory farm lifestyle that they want everybody to live, where you will own nothing, where they're getting rid of house ownership and they're getting rid of car ownership, how they're getting rid of everything ownership. I have a video from yesterday, guys, if you can pull it in, about how HP now requires a subscription to use your own printer. Okay, so you buy the ink, you buy the printer, you provide the electricity and the signal to the printer. It still won't print unless you pay their subscription fee. Like how cars now have features like heated seats you have to pay a monthly subscription for. They're building a company store model of monthly subscription everything. Everything you own, everything you do will all be subscription-based and will all be allowed on a case-by-case basis as long as your social score is sufficient. They have this holistic view of what they want the world to be, and they're doing it whether you like it or not. Now, we can stop them. You can stop them from building low-income housing in the Palisades. You can expose their plans and make everything aware. And we can stop them. But if you just don't stop them, then they're just going to do it. People have this idea that, like, you have to agree to go along with them. And that since we don't agree, then it's not going to happen. No, it's going to happen whether you agree or not, unless you stop them. Unless you get active, unless you get political, unless you go to the meetings or attend the hearings, make videos about it, spread the word. Yeah, HP makes printing a monthly subscription. And I think we have that video. We're going to go to one more video here in a slightly different way, but it sort of goes along with everything that I was just talking about, the way that localities and municipalities throughout the world, especially throughout the country, are helping to contribute and help to progress this New World Order societal construct. In this case, it's, again, on the West Coast in Oregon, where Oregon Democrats have passed a new water law, clip number 11.
So I live in Oregon, and I live on the Umpqua River. And we float the river every year in kayaks and paddle boards and inner tubes, fun stuff like that. And I found out yesterday they are going to be counting inner tubes that are tied together. If you have two inner tubes that you tie together with a rope, they're going to count that as a boat. You have to have a permit to float the river with inner tubes or a kayak, because that's going to be considered a boat. because our government wants the money for people to float in the river in the state of Oregon.
And of course, we know that Oregon recently, you know, passed a number of these types of restrictions, where if you grow food in your backyard, you're now a farm and you're now subject to farm restrictions and, you know, taxing the rain that falls on your property. And it's all there to just put an artificial barrier between you and nature as part of the commodifying of the natural world itself. Right? In the absence of these systems, you just go out in the river, you jump in the river. Suddenly along comes some government entity to build a gate in front of the river park and charge you admission and categorize your inner tube as a boat. They can tax you and regulate you on that. And they want to be the middleman between you and God is essentially how it works. And they really want to replace God. And they want to manipulate humanity because they can't control it. Because they can't convince us to go along with their retarded plan. Because obviously, who would go along with it? Who would agree? Who would look at the Palisades neighborhood and say this should all be bulldozed for small income, you know, low income housing? Who would be, you know, living in a 3-bedroom bungalow house in the Palisades and agree to get rid of that in exchange for a, you know, 1-room apartment building, living in a box like a bug with 1,000 other people? Nobody would go along with this because it's not helping us, because it's not for us. Because our natural inclinations and basic humanity is a barrier to their control. And our desire to like have comfort and a place of our own and to own property and to be independent and, you know, uncontrolled, that very offensive to the people that are already acting like you're their slave. So we can resist. We just have to resist. You can stop all this. You just have to go out and stop it. They're not asking permission to do these things. They're just doing them. You can stop them, but you have to stop them. You have to go out, get involved, get active, spread the word, and physically stop them. Okay, we'll be back on the other side to show you more videos and talk more about what this new conflict between Israel and Syria is all about, as well as another number of other updates to the Epstein case as the divide in the right spirals out and threatens the entirety of Trump's administration. When he could have just released the files. He could have just released the files. There it is, folks. The limited edition Battle Dagger available now at thealexjonesstore.com.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease. And you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy, he's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue. And that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule that should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
Ugh.